Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the laws of the soul. And before we get started, I want to mention to you that later on in the show, I'll mention a special offer that we have for you. And you can certainly take advantage of it, but we'll explore that a little bit later. In the meantime, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature, and they are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show, as is the following thought. The spiritual path is not mystical or vague. It is a science, essentially the science of the soul, of all things, and has its own terminology, experiments, deductions, and laws. And once again, that's from Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. We were talking last time about laws of the soul, and I suppose to a lot of people, it seems kind of esoteric and something that can't be relied upon as being true and measured. And unfortunately, we live in a society where people often think that if something can't be measured, it doesn't exist. But consider this. Consider that we're obeying the laws of physics all the time, and we learn about the laws of physics in high school, in college, and we accept them very willingly. Just try going against the law of gravity, walking off the Empire State Building to test out the viability of the law of gravity, and we'll certainly wish we hadn't tried it. And same thing with the moon. We're so astounded that our scientists have enabled us to reach the moon. But when one considers all of the laws of physics that are involved in reaching the moon, the knowledge of the laws of physics that of course you can't see, touch, or feel them, but nevertheless they certainly do exist. And reaching the moon was no feat of minor accomplishment as far as knowledge of the laws of physics. But I'd like to have you keep that in mind as we talk about the spiritual laws, the esoteric law of the souls, of the soul. Can we learn more about these laws, which so many people seem to doubt, but they do exist?
Well, we've had a splendid example of the law of sacrifice, which is the first great law of the soul that the human being experiences as he begins to awaken spiritually. And I should add that these laws apply not only to the individual human being, but to the mass of humanity as well. And the recent commemoration of D-Day, the 60th anniversary of D-Day, the invasion of Normandy that led to the liberation of France, is an example of a mass portion of humanity, English, American, and Canadian soldiers, who I think voluntarily, knowingly submitted to the law of sacrifice to ensure that humanity would live freely, and they preserved something for the good of mankind by their own personal sacrifice, by literally the thousands. And I think it's a tremendous and inspiring example of a mass submission to the law of sacrifice. An individual example would be any parent who raises a child and instinctively puts the needs and welfare of the child ahead of his own. That person can say, I've already made a lot of progress in learning and submitting to the law of sacrifice, and I know it to be right and utterly good. So, as you say, these are laws that are actualities in life. They aren't just nice thoughts, and we ignore these laws at a price, which we can talk about later. You can't ignore the laws of physics. You can't ignore the laws of the soul without paying a harsh price. But human beings have free will, and we are allowed by God to learn in our own time and in our own way and at our own pace. And that's why not everybody is at the same place on the spiritual path. Some people are more selfish and self-centered than others. Other people are more generous and giving. We are all at a different point on this continuum, which is heading toward realization of these laws.
And I think there's another way of looking at the laws of the soul, and that is the sacrifice that the soul itself makes coming into the world, into this physical, time-based world, to the soul, you have to realize this is a great sacrifice. It limits tremendously its own abilities and by taking on a physical body.
And yet the popular assumption is that death is sacrifice. Death is the loss of life. Not so.
It's just the opposite, in fact. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of hard to grasp at first, but if you have to think about it a while, the soul coming into and taking on a physical body, which is us, we're all done this. We, you know, every one of us are an example of this. But it's like entering a prison.
Mm-hmm. A little tiny 7-pound body that can't speak for itself or think.
Exactly,
or
yeah. And it's a tremendous sacrifice, but it does it so willingly and with great love, because it is undergoing this sacrifice for the greater plan of God to work out specific qualities and attributes
on earth
through humanity. Mm-hmm. And that is the great task that every soul, which is us, every one of us, is going through right now.
Those are some examples of laws of the soul. Another that has a rather dry esoteric name is the law of magnetic impulse. That might cause one's eyes to roll to the top of one's head until you realize that this is really an inspiring and deeply spiritual law. The law of magnetic impulse is the law that governs relations between souls, not between personalities, different individuals in the outer world, but it's the law that governs relations between souls on the level of the soul. And it has to do with the play of energy between that which is above or higher and that which is below or lower. You could say that the law of magnetic impulse is the effect of divine beingness upon worldly forms. You could say that the law of magnetic impulse is the impact of a spiritual master, a great teacher, a great savior such as Christ or the Buddha or Moses or Krishna upon masses of human beings who absorb the impact of that greater being only over a period of millennia, literally. Or on a more mundane level, the impact of a gifted teacher or an important elder or a parent upon a child or a young person who carries throughout his life the lessons and example of that person. Those are also examples of the law of magnetic impulse. It is how souls serve each other, because the individual on his own could not make that much progress, but the impact soul to soul of the greater upon the so-called lesser propels the lesser forward.
It's the magnetic magnetism of, let's say, a Christ or a Buddha or a Krishna And it's the magnetism that draws one upward.
Mm-hmm.
If I be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto me,
mm-hmm.
said Christ. And it's that kind of magnetism that we in the lower kingdom, or in the lower part of the kingdom, can sense, and we are drawn to it, and we are magnetically drawn to it.
I think it's why people are drawn to such spiritual beings as the Dalai Lama, or Mother Teresa, or Ramakrishna, or, we can all name spiritual figures that really inspire us by their very presence. There is that sense of the magnetism of that soul, that greater soul. Gandhi is another who inspired masses of people, including Martin Luther King, with his example and his teaching. And the impact is so subtle quite often, and yet can be lifelong. I'm thinking of another example that I thought was really inspiring, a gifted teacher of violinists, Dorothy DeLay, who taught at Juilliard School of Music for many, many years. She died a few years ago, and I read about her life and her impact on her students, many of whom became famous violinists. She was such a wonderful teacher that they continued to pay tribute to her impact long after they themselves had become gifted, successful, famous violinists. It was her encouragement. She radiated encouragement and loving confidence in her students, and somehow that helped them to be better musicians.
It's all the effect of love, because magnetism combined with dynamic love is really what creates magnetism. It's the magnetic impulse that is radiated from this person, from this individual.
And yet, unfortunately, so many of us think that constructive criticism is going to set them straight. Once in a while that's needed, yes, by a parent or a teacher or a very good friend. But so often that's the line of first resort, when maybe love and confidence and encouragement might have a much greater effect.
And this is law of magnetic impulse is very much related also to the law of service, which is another law of the soul. And we can talk about that one if you like.
Well, service is a soul urge. It's a soul instinct. It's said to be the outstanding characteristic of the soul.
And it comes very natural to the soul, because it is very basic impulse that brings the soul into the world altogether.
I think a lot of people probably think of service as doing good, which is perilously close to interfering and being a busybody. And it's not that, is it? There's a wonderful definition of service that says it's the right use of energy for the meeting of need on any level. Do I have that right?
Sounds right. Yeah.
The right use of energy for the meeting of need on any level is pure service.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, the laws of the soul. We have a special offer from Luce's Publishing Company for our listeners today. The two books, and two Alice Bailey books upon which this show is based, Esoteric Psychology, Volumes 1 and 2, they'll be available for you at a set price of $41. Now, the discount really comes in the form of free shipping and handling, which, as you know, if you've ordered anything through the mail, can be quite substantial today. But what you have to do is you have to mention that you heard the offer on Inner Sight, just a little note or something. In order to acquire the books at this price, you have to send a check or money order, $41, to Luce's Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, the two show the two volumes of books upon, Alice Bailey books upon which this show is based, Esoteric Psychology, Volumes 1 and 2, available to you for $41. That's the discount is in form of shipping and handling. And what you have to do is send a check or a money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And you'll acquire the books only if you mention that you heard the offer on Inner Sight. And also to order books, cassette tapes of the radio shows, a schedule of our meditation meetings, or a package of general information, contact us at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. If you'd like to listen to some of our previously archived library of radio shows on a multiple number of topics taken from the works of Alice Bailey, key into our website at www.lucistrust.org. Once again, www.lucistrust.org. We appreciate the donations, by the way, that you've given us in the past, and your support is always welcome and very much needed in order for us to remain on this radio station. So please continue to give if you'd like these shows to remain on the air. All donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. I'd like to get back to our show at this point. We're talking about the laws of the soul, and there's much more that we have to say about this, Sarah. I imagine we could do several shows, actually, about this.
Well, we were talking about the law of service before the break and how it is simply the urge, the inner innate urge of the soul to love and serve. It's a kind of expression of obedience that is willingly, spontaneously given. It's service on the level of the soul is not something that you have to conjure up with a lot of effort. It's a natural pouring forth of all of one's resources for the good of the whole. And I think it's an expression of the soul's innate identification with the One, the Creator, who is the one life of which all of us are a part, but we find our true being in that One. And so the soul, knowing this oneness, cannot help but give.
Yes, in fact, a very short definition of service, I don't know, maybe we mentioned this before, is defined as the spontaneous effect of soul contact. That's what service essentially is, the spontaneous effect. And when service does happen in a spontaneous way, then that is a definite soul impulse coming, working through your life.
Maybe a good example of this spontaneous effect is the service of the sun, which radiates its light steadily, constantly, without cease, and asking nothing in return. It simply gives its full quota of light and radiation to our planet, and thereby our planet lives. Without that sun, we would not live. If we think of the soul as a radiant sun, it shines upon everything that comes within its field, and without any taking of a measurement of response or expecting anything in return.
It is said that it is service is simply the first real effect. The fact of the soul is beginning to express itself in the outer manifestation, and it is so basic and so ingrained in the soul's life when it comes through us, through every individual, then that is ample evidence that the soul is present.
And I think, again, taking this law of the soul and applying it to humanity as a whole, we can say that over, say, the past half century or century, we have seen this law come into more and more effectiveness in humanity. I think this was a phenomenon that Kennedy, President Kennedy, picked up on when he said in his inaugural address, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." And he founded the Peace Corps. That was one example that he sensed young people were ready and eager to serve, to give of themselves. And we see this more and more in all of the different groups that are forming for self-help groups that bring people together to help each other because they share a common problem. All of the growth of philanthropy and charity in the last century, these aren't things that have always been with us. They're actually quite new. In the past, it was thought that the poor were poor because they were less worthy, and the wealthy were wealthy because they were more favored by God. And it was just too bad if you didn't have that blessed life. You didn't deserve it, and it was okay with everybody. So the idea of charity and philanthropy and giving is quite new and a sign, I think, of human progress.
Yes, it's something that's only really developed in the past 100 or 150 years or so. And then social programs have sprung up in most every country now that recognize the need to take care of their people, their citizens.
There are two more laws that we should touch on before we close this program. One is the law of repulse. Again, it's a name that might strike people as quite strange, repulse. Actually, this law was the dominant theme of the Buddha, who taught that the noble middle way between the pairs of opposites is the only way to achieve liberation and release from suffering. And that noble middle way is trod by practicing the law of repulse, which means putting aside everything which is not desirable to one's higher self, the lower forms of thought and expression and activity that we know deep in our heart do not serve our soul, do not serve our higher nature when we give in to separatism and selfishness and ill will and low desires. We know these are expressions that aren't serving the soul's interests, and the law of repulse is that capacity in us to put them aside, to eliminate them.
And that's a very necessary law, because we can't drag all of this bad stuff with us all the time. We have to let go. And the law of repulse, a law allows us to do that. And, you know, we see this, the same law working out in a magnet. You have, in the polarities, if you put two common polarities together and they'll repulse. They won't be drawn together. It's the opposites of negative and positive that draw each other together. But two negatives or two positives will repulse each other. So, I mean, it's so naturally built right into the electrical system, which is a human being or the earth itself.
And one more law to mention is the law of group progress, which is more and more a dominant law for the coming era. I think a lot of our listeners probably have heard of the Aquarian Age, which we are entering into according to the Ageless Wisdom. In this era, the law of group progress will govern, and it means that every one of us is going to have to learn to adapt ourselves to our group relationships. To spiritually, it means that some of us will have to step up our pace in our spiritual development, while others will have to slow up a bit to stay with and serve our group. And it's a law that governs the incorporation of the individual into the larger group. We are experiencing it in our national life, in our family life, in our social life as we come of age. So we've had a lot of experience with this law, maybe without realizing it.
Yes, it's a good training because one has to learn to subordinate his own personality ideas and his personality whims and personal growth and all of that. And he has to subordinate that for the greater good of the purpose of the group. And that's a good learning lesson.
Is there a connection between the soul and karma? I was wondering about that.
A connection between the soul and karma. Well, yes, I would think that karma is the effect of ignoring or disobeying the laws of the soul. And either willfully or unknowingly, we disobey these laws at our peril. Karma is the adjusting of the imbalance that is created by our failure to obey the laws of the soul. Karma is not punishment, as so often is misunderstood. It's not punishment because God is utterly good. He doesn't punish. But karma is the attaining or reattaining of equilibrium when things have been thrown out of balance. And the refusal to obey the laws of the soul creates an imbalanced condition.
Yes, and so there is instant retribution, quite often, if one oversteps the bounds or you incur some bad karma. Oftentimes, there's often good karma, too. You have to realize that there's good karma. So you can build up good karma by inducing those or allowing those soul impulses to come into your life.
But basically, it's the will of the soul to love and to serve, to live within and for the group, for the greater whole, to choose the highest way through the law of repulse, and for the greater to serve the lesser through the law of magnetic impulse. All of these are great driving forces in the soul. When we don't live according to these laws, we suffer. And that's karma.
Mm-hmm. Once again, take advantage of our special offer from Lucis Publishing Company. The two books, Alice Bailey books, upon which this show is based, Esoteric Psychology, Volumes 1 and 2, are available at a set price of $41. That's a discount coming in the form of free shipping and handling. And in order to get that discount, just mention that you, a little note or something, mention that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. So if you'd like that offer, please do so by sending a check or a money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And that's a check or money order for $41. You have been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.